Now we're gonna go, me and Slick are gonna talk to you about something that, you know, we grew up with, we loved. And these men probably had better fashion sense than we did at the time. We're talking about our favorite 80s hair glam bands. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Slick, what was the very first band you remember? It's a hair glam band era.
Oh, it all started for me with Motley Crue.
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue and Rat, really. Van Halen were lumped in that group, but they shouldn't have been, because Van Halen actually formed and started in the 70s. They came along before this scene in L.A. started, really, in about 78, 79, maybe more. You know, but Van Halen were around 75, I think. So they kind of precursed it and heavily influenced it. And when you see the front men all wanted to be David Lee Roth because he was such a show. You know, for me, the first thing was Motley Crue, very closely followed by Rat. And this was, I was already into metal before that. And I'll say this right now, this music we're going to talk about for me is not heavy metal.
No.
It's not heavy metal at all to me. This is a completely different, it got lumped in with metal.
Hard rock.
It's just rock and roll. I would just call it rock and roll. Actually, a lot of it I would call shit as well.
Yeah, I'm looking at this top 100 that they
have. Yeah, this is quite a list. So that's where it started for me. But some of these bands are still some of my favorite bands of all time. So, what about you?
No, this is going to come as a surprise, but Poison was where it started with me. I fell madly in love with Bret Michaels, and it was downhill for like 10 years with him. Love that guy. It was actually the video of Fallen Angel, if I remember right, that was like,
my
gosh,
you are a bit younger than me.
Yeah.
The first album came out in 86, and I remember buying it. I still have it on vinyl.
Yeah, that's where I remember really getting into it, was with Fallen Angel. Might have even been before that, but that's the one video I remember loving.
Coming to LA to make it big, falling. So epic. You know what's funny is that, I did like a Poison at one time. I loved their first album, and then it went downhill for me from there. But I remember being in the only record store in Ocala, which is an hour and a half north of Tampa where I went to high school. And I was there with my brother, John, and two of my best friends from high school, Natalie and PK. PK was very gullible. We're standing there and I'm holding, and this was on vinyl. Yes, this was still vinyl. I'm holding their first album. And just remember Natalie and I were like giggling. We're like, check this out. So I go, PK, look at this band. And she's like, oh my god, they're really pretty. I wish I could put makeup on like that. And Natalie and I bust it out laughing, and I flip it over, and the back cover, because on the front cover you just see their faces. Admittedly, Rocket and Bret Michaels could have passed for women. Bobby, CeCe DeVille, not so much. CeCe DeVille's one fugly motherfucker anyway. And even his birthday was just recently too. But when I flipped it over, she realized they were men, and she was like, "Get out! Those are dudes."
She's like, "I'm a Rocket was a good-looking, good-looking girl."
So.
Yeah, so Poison was my intro, and then I just started loving pretty much anything in that genre at that time. I wanted to collect as many tapes, as I could, you know. And Guns N' Roses were big at the time. That's when they were good.
Really Guns N' Roses got you see Guns N' Roses I wouldn't put in this category.
Oh, you don't think
so much. No, Guns N' Roses had too much talent, and they weren't a gimmick band, and they didn't do the makeup and hair thing. Like, when you see the video for Welcome to the Jungle, Axl's hair is massive, but they never really probably in their earliest shows, because that was like 84 85, and it was in the, they were in LA, and there was, on that scene, there was no way around. Generally speaking, when you wanted to get noticed, you did do the hair and makeup thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably did that early on a little bit, but they never really fell into that. They were definitely their own thing. So I don't really, I can't lump Guns N' Roses in the same categories like Warrant and Trickster. I'm sorry.
Warrant. I was a sucker for Warrant.
Oh, God, Warrant. Oh, cherry pie.
Come on, you can't admit you did not sing along to that song.
I'm not saying I didn't sing along, but I was hating it. I did.
Everyone knew that song.
You know what's funny is that, my God, if you wanted to see my brother, like, it was almost like he was turned into the Hulk. Just play Cherry Pie or Heaven by Warrant. He fucking hated Warrant. The only song he liked by them was Uncle Tom's Cabin.
That was a good song. I really like that song still.
But, I got into that, and then I started buying, there was a magazine called Metal Edge.
I love Metal Edge magazines.
I still have hundreds of them.
Really?
Oh yeah, I bought every issue for probably a decade.
I remember I probably bought as many as I could for about most of my 5th, 6th junior high years.
I bought them I was full on addicted to Metal Edge, and then Rip Magazine came along and was. Metal Edge was definitely for chicks. It was borderline, because they would have things in Metal Edge about fast facts about PJ, the drummer from, you know, or the bass player from Trickster. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, the fact would be like, his favorite ice cream flavor is, you know.
I never thought of it that way.
Where he wears boxers, he doesn't do briefs, or his shoe size is 10. This was you would have stuff like that in Metal Edge. Now, Jerry Miller, the woman who pretty much single-handedly created and ran that magazine, I give her props, because it wasn't all like that, and she covered any band that was called metal she would put in that magazine. You know, so you had everything from, you know, Tora Tora to, you know, Slayer in there, you know. So, and she did the bulk of the interviews and photographs and everything herself, but there was that angle to it where it was very, it was kind of like a teeny bopper kind of a thing. And I ate it up when I was younger, because I did have crushes on these guys. It was like every band I had a favorite guy almost, you know.
Oh, yeah,
like,
me too.
You know, and then Rip Magazine was a lot more hard-edged and a lot better produced and a slicker magazine. I loved the Rip Magazine. It was one of the best. Lon Friend, the editor-in-chief at that, was one of the most awesome guys ever. And so I had all these, I knew all these bands, and between that and watching Headbangers Ball and stuff.
Headbangers Ball was a big thing for me back in the day.
And it was like a lot of bands that probably wouldn't have gotten record deals if there wasn't this scene going on.
Mm-hmm.
Would, you know, got record deals. Like, I mean, there's so many bands that, you know, Britney Fox.
The thing is, I know this band, you know this band, but you say that name and people are like, what? You mean Britney Spears? I'm like, no, back in the day.
Yeah, Britney Fox, which would, to me, was Cinderella Light. They looked Cinderella, they sounded like, only not good.
Love Cinderella.
Cinderella is still one of my favorite bands from that era. I've seen Cinderella live, oh God, I don't know how many times, but they always put on an amazing fucking show, and they always sound awesome, and I still love a lot of Cinderella stuff.
I'm just glad you mentioned Tora Tora. Love those guys.
There's only like one song by them, and I can't even think what it was called.
I just remember their one album cover where the girl in town is getting bombed.
Yeah, it looked like a tattoo that somebody would
have. Yeah, it's just, I can't remember the name of the album now, but yeah.
But yeah, so I was aware of all these bands, and it was just like, you know, and you'd see the videos, and I would buy DVDs or CDs and tapes, and kind of inevitably maybe listen to one or two songs. And so some of these bands are absolutely sort of sacred ground to me, and others I think are just jokes, you know. So it's kind of funny. This looking at this list.
This list has got some. Enough's enough. Oh my gosh! If you couldn't find a more hideous band, I'm sorry.
Chips Enough was the bass player. But they had, and this was the thing. This was the thing. Every one of these bands has like a ballad.
And everyone,
because that's how you got into the top 40 was you had to have a ballad.
Oh, and with yep.
Enough's Enough. It was Fly High Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was theirs. And then you had Fly to the Angels from Slaughter.
I actually met them. They were pretty nice guys.
Yeah, they're a terrible, terrible fucking band, though. Oh,
I remember my best friend. I had fun with them.
My Katie thought Mark Slaughter was hot, and then she got the CD, and she thought it was a great CD, because not only was it, like, metal, which it wasn't, but you could dance to it. And I was like, oh, and she, like, listened to it, and I was like, this album sucks! From Fly to the Angels, and
I like Slaughter.
Sleep all day! Oh my god, I wanted to kill people.
I liked Slaughter. I thought they were fun.
Firehouse. My friends actually used
Firehouse.
It.
Firehouse. That was like...
Love of a Lifetime was their wedding song.
That's the thing. It was either your wedding song or it was your prom theme.
So, yeah.
It was the prom theme for that year. I'm not kidding. Almost every prom I saw was Love of a Lifetime or the Sweetheart Dance.
And then you had like Steelheart. I still only know one song by them.
I don't remember them.
Steelheart had this guy, Mike Matijevic, who had this incredible falsetto. And
go look him up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I can't think of the song. It's like the one hit.
Oh, okay, now I see their album cover. I remember
what's the name of that song. Oh shit.
Woohoo!
Open
the link, didn't you?
Yes. What the hell was their big hit?
Yeah. She's gone? No, that's not it.
No.
We all done.
No. I get a look. It was huge. And it was an epic ballad. And I still love that song, though. Oh, come on.
It says
forget?
The ballad She's Gone.
No. That's not it. I've never heard that. I'm not saying that's not one of their songs, but that's not the song I'm thinking of. The one that... What?
That I'll Never Let You Go?
Yes, that's it. That was massive. It was huge. That video was, you know, him singing on cliff tops and shit, you know, with his hair blown in the wind.
Gosh, I remember that now.
That's an awesome song, and he's got a hell of a voice, but it's that falsetto-y kind of a voice, you know.
Oh,
but,
my gosh.
He could actually sing, so...
I totally forgot about that video.
This is how people know these bands. Like, whereas I'll know like deep album cuts. You know, like Mr. Big, everybody knows them because of "Be With You." Extreme, everybody knows them because of "More Than Words." You know, things like that. Even a band that I'm still to this day sad that they never had a bigger following is a band called Kix, K-I-X.
I liked Kix.
Baltimore band.
Oh but yes.
Know that. Don't Close Your Eyes. That's like the only song, you know, it was a song I did. It was like an anti-suicide song. Mm-hmm. And but they had two of my favorite songs of the 80s. Like literally two of my top favorite songs of the 80s were Same Jane and Cold Blood. I heard Cold Blood in the car today and was freaking out. I'm like, oh, it's still a song that makes me crazy. I love it so much.
That you tweeted, I swear.
I don't think it
did. Because Slick was tweeting her songs that she was listening to today, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's such a good song. Oh my gosh, that's a good one, too.
My MP3 player, because I finished the books, mm-hmm. and I haven't really listened to my MP3 player, really, for the last, I don't know how many weeks, I've really only listened to podcasts and Harry Potter books on it. So I put on music today, because I finished the last week's lock-in, the Oil House, and... So I was like, well, I guess I'll listen to music. I haven't listened to music in a while, and it was playing some great stuff, so that was cool. But, God, there's bands on here. House of Lords. Oh, I forgot about them.
A big fan of Faster Pussycat.
Faster Pussycat is one of my favorite bands of all time. They put out four amazing albums that split up. I remember Missy, my best friend, and I went to see them. It was before we lived, before I lived in Tampa. We drove down here in my parents' car because I think Missy's car died, and I didn't have a car at the time. And we drove down here to see them at this little club on Dale Mabry called the Rocket Club. And of course, it was freaking gone by the time I moved to Tampa.
Oh.
And it would have been like 5 minutes from where I live. But we went to see them at this little club with this band called Concrete Jungle open for them, which was another LA band. It's tiny, tiny. I mean, it was like so easy. We were right at the front because it's a tiny little hole in the wall club. And Missy's literally handing our CDs to them while they're on stage playing for them to sign. Some of them actually signed our CDs. I couldn't believe she did it, but they were cool about it. I love Faster Pussycat. It's one of my favorite bands.
Another one that I had a big influence with was Dangerous Toys. For kind of an odd reason. My sister, when she was in art class, she did this humongous mural of their clown.
Oh, yeah. Back.
And, well, she brought it home and it used to scare the crap out of me. Because it was literally, it took up like a whole wall, this clown. I'm not fond of clowns, and Dangerous Toys Clown is not something friendly.
So.
But, you know, yeah. I love their song, Teasing and Pleasing. Love that song.
It's good, but my favorite Dangerous Toys song is Scared. That is the best song, and they dedicated that to Alice Cooper, because Jason McMaster, the lead singer, is a huge Alice Cooper fan, and he's a huge music fan. He's got a Elton John album cover tattooed on his stomach. Takes up, like, his torso, his whole torso.
It's not coming to me, but you know what? I have them on my iPod. I'll have to go back and listen to it. So that's not, it's not one that's really coming to me right now. Have to go check it out.
Scared, my favorite. Oh, there's so many. Their first album is awesome. Now, see, that's a band that I wouldn't, I don't class them as a hair band either, because they didn't do the hair. They were a band from Texas that just had their own sound, and a lot of these bands, they're lumped together simply because it was
that genre.
It was, no, because it,
That era.
Yeah, it was just because it was that time, and it was easier to lump them all together because they were lumping Poison and Slayer together. Come on.
Yeah, I was gonna say they have Stryper in here. I wouldn't say that they were really a hair band.
Stryper's biggest. Yeah, they were. They had massive. Really? Hair, they. Oh, and they were wearing makeup. Yeah, tons of eyeliner and stuff. But they were just like the biggest hypocrites. Stryper was a Christian band, quote unquote, and they would chuck little Bibles out in the audience. But then they were doing blow and get laid. Same as everybody else backstage. So
we mentioned one of the bands on a previous podcast. I think was the biggest glam band was Pretty Boy Floyd.
You know what's funny is that in anticipation of the show, I was looking at. I looked up Pretty Boy Floyd, their first album. I didn't know they put out other albums, but their first album, I did have it at one point. And
I still have it because I got it.
Tonight, you know, we're going to set the night on fire. It was funny because those guys, they really did make Poison look macho. They put on... These guys, you know, they look so much better without the makeup. Like, I saw Pretty Boy Floyd picture of him, and then I saw a picture of... Oh, this was a terrible thing, too. The guy's name, he was the guitar player, is Chris Majori, but of course he changes his name to Christy Majors. To be in this fucking band, which is bad enough.
Yeah.
And he puts all this fucking makeup on and stuff. So I, for shits and giggles, I looked at his Wikipedia page yesterday, and he's still wearing the makeup. It's like, oh.
He still is?
Christy Crash Majors.
Oh, wait, I'm going to go check that.
They're still putting out albums and putting in touring and shit.
Really? Pretty Boy Floyd.
Apparently, their first album came out in like 89. The next one didn't come out until like, I think, 98, it said. So there's a
Let's
long gap.
Drive electric toys.
Yeah. How's that? Isn't that great? That was Pretty Boy Floyd was a band that wanted to be Motley Crue and they wanted to be Poison, and they didn't come close to being either. They covered one of Motley Crue's first songs, Toast to the Town. Did a fair job with it, I guess. But yeah, I mean, like, you have the drag, like, this list. I would say, they shouldn't have Kiss or Def Leppard on this list. They shouldn't have the Scorpions on this list.
No.
They shouldn't have Aerosmith on this list. They shouldn't have
Alice Cooper.
Anybody that came and was well established before, like, say, 81 should not be on this list, really. Well, yeah. It shouldn't weren't established. Now, you have the dregs on this list. Like, to me, like, some of the Forster, like, Babylon AD.
I actually had their album.
I don't think I ever got theirs. Britney Fox, I'd put down. Tyketto, holy crap, I forgot about them.
Yeah.
Trickster, oh my god, I had that first Trickster album and actually liked it at
they
first.
They have Bang Tango on here.
Oh, Bang Tango! They had a song I loved.
I liked Bang Tango.
Bang Tango had, oh no, wait, I'm thinking of another band. Actually, I just had two meld together in my head.
Are you thinking Bang Boingo Boingo?
Bang Tango wasn't too bad, no. There was another band called Vane, which aren't even on here. Are they? No, they're not. V-A-I-N was a band called, it was a band called Vane, and they were, I just really fancied the lead singer, whose name was David Vane, although I think that was a stage name, perhaps.
Most of these people had stage names.
Oh, yeah. Mickey Six being like,
but of course they had Bon Jovi on this list, and I know you hate Bon Jovi, but I love him.
Yeah. Vinnie Vincent Invasion, terrible. Slaughter, terrible. Yeah. Firehouse, terrible.
See, I like Slaughter. But I've totally forgot about the girl bands, like Lita Ford and Vixen. I love
Lita Ford. Well, I don't think it's fair to put Lita in this, just because
more metal. She had,
well, before this, and she was, yeah, I don't know, I could see why they lumped her. But yeah, Vixen was like really like the only like chick band of this lot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. On Edge of a Broken Heart. That was kind of a cool song. I've been living on the edge of a broken heart.
Yeah, sing it, girl. Oh,
you not hate me to dress like them. Oh, they wore the worst fucking clothes.
They had the biggest shoulder pads.
Oh, everything was terrible. Awful, 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 and then they're trying to rock out and be cool, and they have the dregs in here, and then they have, like, amazing bands in here, like Dokken. Now, Dokken, I have a hard time.
I like the earlier stuff.
Dokken is one of my favorite bands, in a lot of ways. I have a huge soft spot for Dokken. They were managed by, like, the same guys that managed Metallica and Def Leppard, and, you know, like, the... these guys that were managing like some of the biggest bands at the time, but they suffered from a sort of identity crisis. It's like they listened to too many people saying, oh, you gotta sound like everybody else, you gotta look like everybody. So they would wear these ridiculous outfits and put makeup on and stuff, and that was never who they were. They were just musicians who, you know, great musicians, but yeah, oh, their early stuff. Their song Breaking the Chains is always going to be one of my favorite songs of all time. I freaking love that song. So I think Dokken's awesome. Faster Pussycat. LA Guns is one of my biggest bands.
You know what? That is one thing me and Slick talked about before we even did the podcast. You remember? And I was just like, love those guys. And there's another group on here that I loved that's not on here, that I was telling you about. I was so happy to have found out that you knew who the London Choir Boys were. Mm-hmm. Love the London Choir Boys, but they're not on this list.
Well, they weren't. London Choir Boys and Dogs D'Amour were both kind of at that same time, and I don't think they were as well known. They're both British bands, and I don't think they were as well known, but Dogs D'Amour has, like, two songs I really love. Even now, I have on my MP3 player, they have I Don't Want You to Go and Billy Two Rivers, and then London Choir Boys, I love Sweet Marianne.
Oh, I love that song.
It's an awesome, awesome, awesome song. It's 7 O'Clock is a great song.
That's probably my favorite.
That song, I mean, that, see, the thing with the Choir Boys, though, to me, the only reason they were the London Choir Boys was because there was already a band in the States called the Choir Boys, but that song is so heavily influenced by, like, the Small Faces, it's, you know, and I think Spike, the lead singer, wanted to be Steve Marriott very badly, but it's a great song, or he wanted to be Rod Stewart, you know, it's very kind of a feel of 70s British pop, and in a great way. I'm not saying that they, you know, because that was a unique sound at that time. So, yeah, so the London Choir Boys is a great one. They've got Nitro on here. Helix, oh my god.
Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that one for a while.
Love that song even now. YNT has one of my favorite songs from the era is... Summertime Girls, do you know that song?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fucking love that song.
They have Saigon Kick on here.
Something like on Kick. It's a Tampa band. They came along more in the 90s. I don't really view them as being...
I've only really know two of their songs, really. And Love Is On The Way, of course, that's another, you know, ballad. That's what they got. So...
It's Cinderella, like you said, it's awesome. I love Cinderella.
I like having
Go ahead.
Oh no, it's like the last one on this list is Nelson. I think they just threw them a bone there.
Well, the first two, what band did I just mention? I forgot. Extreme. I like their first two albums. Everybody sort of wants to hate them because of More Than Words, and I don't understand why. I think it's a great song. It was pretty much a cappella, which you don't hear very often. But I quite like that. And I always liked To Be With You by Mr. Big as well.
Well, I put Tesla really on this list as...
No, I wouldn't either. Tesla is sacred ground for me. They really are. I've seen them live and they're amazing.
They probably have one of the best albums that I still enjoy today, the Five Man Acoustic Band.
Yeah, that's a great album. But I mean, like when I think of Love Song and I can't think of the song. Shit, I gotta look. But Tesla, there's something about them. They just get me. Like I Love Song by Tesla came on my MP3 player today. I tweeted that one today.
Yeah, okay, that was probably one of them.
And now that makes me think of Stu. Because like that song to me was always kind of like... because, you know, Stu's the first relationship I ever had. And so I waited a long time to be in love. And I didn't think it would ever happen. And that was kind of always a song that made me, kind of want to hope that it would happen. And so now when I hear it, I think it's Stu.
Oh, that's cool.
Right up stoppy, but, you know, it's true.
No, it's true. That's awesome.
Yeah. So when it comes on, I think of him. And then the other track, it's on. Oh, what, son of a bitch. I am drawing a blank and it's making me crazy. And I'm trying to think of their other album. It's another ballad that's
Tesla?
Yeah, it's another Tesla ballad. It's after that. It's after Great Radio Controversy. It's on the Psychotic Supper album. Wikipedia will move a little faster. What You Give. That's the name of the song. Which the lead singer, Jeff Keith, wrote about his dog, actually, after his dog passed. But when you listen to this... Yeah, I mean, it's the lyrics are like, who's the one that makes you happy? Who's the one that's always on your mind? And who's the reason that you're living for? And who's the reason for your smile? These lyrics, like, I remember I used to think, like, you know, if I ever found a guy that made me feel like that, you know, I was like, that would be, like, you know, and I have it now. So that's another thing where the song now, where it meant one thing to me, now is
completely different, yeah.
Yeah, in a good way, you know. So I love that song. God, I just have a real soft spot for Tesla, you know, Call It What You Want. Song and Emotion, which they wrote about Steve Clark from Def Leppard, who died, because they were really close friends with the guys in Def Leppard, so that was really cool. Tesla, I would not link in with this group at all, because, again, it was just they were the same era. They kind of came to fore in the same era, but they were just a straight-up rock band, wrote great songs.
I love Tesla.
Yeah, me too. And like I said, I've seen them live and just awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. Awesome band.
Trickster. I remember Trickster. I did see them in concert.
Oh my God, did you really?
I did.
Oh God, I remember actually thinking the bass player PJ was hot.
He was cute, I thought too.
You know who was actually really hot was, like, I remember it was funny, like in that stupid Metal Edge magazine, they would, I shouldn't say stupid because that magazine was like my world for a long time. She would go visit them at their homes and stuff. And so, like, they showed PJ Farley at his home and his older brother, who I think was living with him or something. So his older brother was, and I was like, damn, the older brother's the hot one. But the funny thing about Trickster was that they were this Jersey band and they sold them. They came out saying that they were like 16, 17, 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they were in their 20s. I think PJ was the youngest and was maybe 19 or 20. But they really sold it like they were like teenagers. And then like a year later, they're like, no, we're actually all adults in our 20s. And it was just like the lamest fucking thing. Oh my God, I have Kick-Ax on this list. My best teacher ever, I ever had, Mr. Karsten, Todd Karsten, was, I had him for English my sophomore year of high school. He was friends with them. And he used to bring in his records that were signed by them, and he chose pictures of them hanging out. He knew one of the guys. Oh, Vane is on this list right above Kick-Ax. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so that was kind of cool. I was thinking when I think of the band. Michael Monroe's on here. Do they have Hanoi Rocks on here? Again, I would lump them in this list, but
Squeeze Bees. Oh my gosh, I haven't even heard that bad name ever.
Screwed, Blued, and Tattooed. That was their song. Screwed, Blued, and Tattooed. Yeah, Squeeze Bees. Jesus.
Wild.
What about White Lion?
Oh, come on, I was just talking for White Lion.
Great white snake, White Lion. White Lion, oh, they were terrible. Wait. Oh, God.
White Snake's in the top 10 of this list.
I mean, they had some of the biggest hits of that. I mean, Here I Go Again. And
that was one of the biggest videos of all time.
That skank in it. Well, you saw her boobie. Oh my Lord. Lordy, lordy. They got South Gang on this list. Which, interestingly enough, South Gang was a band that the guitar player is Butch Walker. They had this song called Tainted Angel. God, it was awful. She's my tainted angel. Oh God, it's terrible. I remember that being on friggin' Headbangers Ball. It was awful. But they kept going through. It was like they would be and like months would go by, and then they'd be like, you'd have three of the same people in the band, like the lead singer left, and they'd be like this new band called Floyd's Funk Revival, and then later on they went through another change, and like they were another band, I can't remember, but Butch Walker was sort of the mainstay in all this, and now he is actually Pink's guitar player.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
so
cool.
Yeah, and he's got a Twitter account. She tweets about him all the time and stuff, so that's kind of funny.
Here's a name I haven't heard for a while. Lizzie Borden.
Lizzie. Yeah, I was never a big fan of theirs, but now, that's interesting. They've got Rockhead on here. Rockhead was Bob Rock's band, and Bob Rock is most known for producing, like, Metallica's Black Album and Load and Reload, and I don't know if he's done the newer stuff. I can't remember. And he also was like Bon Jovi's producer. But he was a musician. He was from Canada. He was kind of hot, too. he was. And he put out this. He formed a band called Rockhead. And I remember I bought the CD because I liked him so much. And this fucking album was awful.
There
was one good song on it. And even now, I can't remember what that song was called. And I sold the CD a long time ago. Night Ranger. I have a huge soft spot for Night Ranger.
Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that one for a while either.
Sister Christian. I know so many people that hate that song,
Sister,
and that's one of my
favorite. I like Sister Christian.
Oh, love that song. You Can Still Rock in America. Don't Tell Me You Love Me. That, yeah. And they came out in 83. I wouldn't really call them a hair band. They weren't really. But, you know, of the time. They've got Steeler on here, which is great. Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite songs of the era?
Oh my God. Still, okay, Motley Crue was like probably my favorite band for a good chunk of my teenage years, and Nikki Sixx was probably the biggest crush of my entire life. Truly, yeah. I can't say, I'll always kind of have a soft spot for those guys. Because they just, you know, I love that band so much. I think Tommy Lee's kind of a douche, but the other three guys, Vince is kind of an idiot, but, you know,
like
whatever.
Said,
I kind of saw it before, but.
One of my favorite concerts of all time was Dr. Feelgood.
That was so good.
It's still one of my favorite songs. I really love listening to that song still.
See, that's one of my least favorite Motley
really?
Crue songs.
I don't know why.
My least favorite, but not one of my least favorites, but I don't love it like everybody else's. But SOS, Same Old Situation off that is awesome. Mm-hmm. Kickstart My Heart is awesome. Wild Side is always going to be one of my favorite Motley Crue songs. Looks That Kill and Too Young to Fall in Love off of Shout at the Devil are really the whole Shout at the Devil album.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a
That's one of my favorites. And Livewire. Just thinking about Motley Crue. Oh, I heard Starry Eyes today on my MP3 player. That's, I always love that song. But God, there's so many from that. Cinderella's their first single, and I can't think what the hell it was called. Shake Me. I love that song. Still, I remember the first time I heard that. I'd never heard of Cinderella, and the video came on MTV, and I rolled off my bed. I was jamming to it so hard.
Really?
Yeah, I loved Shake Me. Cinderella to me was kind of a revelation because they were their own thing without sound. They didn't sound a million miles different from everybody, but they were still their own thing. And Tom, the lead singer, had kind of a unique voice, and
he had that gruffy voice.
Yeah, and Fred Corey, the drummer, I always loved him. He's just always kind of cracked me up, or Cupcake, as he is nicknamed. he's a huge hockey fan, and he lives in L.A. And he actually does music for, like, the L.A. Kings, which are, like, his favorite hockey team and stuff. And he's also doing music for other various and sundry things, and he's got his own studio and everything. Oh, he tweets on Twitter, so.
Cinderella, I'd say Nobody's Fool. I love that song.
Good song.
Yeah. Jeez, I'm trying to think. Back to Faster Pussycat.
A Little Shelter or whatever by Cinderella is one of my very favorites by them. We all need a little shelter. Oh God, that's an awesome song. As far as Faster Pussycat goes, Poison Ivy.
I love that song.
What's an awesome. Yeah.
They did a great remix of You're So Vain.
I actually prefer their version of You're So Vain over the original.
And of course, their ballad House of Pain. Well, the first few times I heard that, it was kind of very emotional for me. I don't know why. I think it might have been the video.
You can relate to it.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know what it was. It was just really good.
Tammy, the lead singer, Tammy Down, who was... Tammy cracks me up, but he's just because he's this massive goth. He's had other bands, and actually Faster Pussycat have reformed, but Tammy wrote that about his childhood growing up without his dad, and I think he just hit a nerve a lot of people. That was the token ballad, like that's like the one song that people will know by Faster Pussycat is House of Pain. It was kind of a powerful video too.
Oh yeah, I think that's one of those videos that still sticks with me, so.
But Faster Pussycat's first album was an integral staple of my youth, and that was, oh my God, Don't Change That Song. I still remember the first time I saw that video, and that was the thing. The video actually has Ricky Rackman in it, who Ricky later hosted Headbangers Ball, and he was really good friends with Tammy Down, the lead singer. They used to actually share an apartment together in LA because Ricky Rackman had bands before, you know, he's had a couple of bands. He was a musician as well, and he's in the video like jamming out. It's really funny. Don't Change That Song, and Bathroom Wall, and Babylon. Oh, that whole first album, LA Guns first album, Sex Action. Fuck, I love that song. Oh my God, No Mercy. That whole first album is amazing.
I still like Skid Row's first album.
I haven't even mentioned because I do not lump them in with this group.
You don't believe?
No, they're on here. Skid Row is actually metal to me. Yeah. They are proper metal band. If you've ever listened to their Slave to the Grind album, you would not argue with that.
That's probably still one of my favorite albums.
Yeah,
that's a good album.
Skid Row is still one of my favorite bands, and I've seen them live a number of times. I've had the pleasure of meeting and hanging out with Scotty Hill, the guitar player. One of the guitar players. I told you that story, didn't I?
I know. I get jealous every time you remind me.
I know. So I went to Orlando to House of Blues. It was actually a triple bill of Vince Neil, Tesla, and Skid Row. And this was Skid Row split up for a while completely. And three of the guys, Snake, Scotty, and Rachel, who are the core, Rachel Bolan, the bass player.
Very good looking.
Yeah, and then Snake Sabo, the guitar player, who is also another one of my biggest crushes ever, and then Scotty Hill, the other guitar player. They formed another band called Ozone Monday for a while, and then they reformed Skid Row with a different drummer and singer. They got rid of Sebastian Bach, who I fucking hate. I got a new guy in Johnny Solinger, and then they've had a couple of different drummers since, but now they've got... But they put out some of their best albums since with that lineup, and that was the lineup I saw, was seeing them live with, and their first album with that lineup was Thick Skin. And it was such an amazing show, and they were on first. I think it was Skid Row, then Vince Neil, then Tesla. I didn't even like pay attention to Vince Neil's set. That because Skid Row played, and then I realized I'm standing there. I went with this guy Leo I was working with at the time. Scotty's standing there, and I was like, "My God, it's Scotty Hill!" And he goes, "Well, go talk to him." I was like, "All right, I don't want to bother." Well, and at this point, I knew that Scotty had moved to Sarasota, which is an hour south of Tampa, with his wife, and his parents and sister had moved there as well, which I didn't realize. And we were in Orlando, which isn't that far from all this. So I start talking to him, and he's like the sweetest guy in the world. And he's like, I'm looking at it signed by him, and we're chatting. And he's like, "What do you think of the new guy?" You know, the lead singer. I was like, "Oh, it's awesome." I said, "How do you miss 6'3" of asshole?" And he laughed really hard. He kept hugging me. He's like, and I was like, the whole conversation went. And the next thing I know, he's like, he's grabbing these people, and he goes, "Hey, this is my mom and dad and my sister Mary." And he's like, "This is Slick, and she's been into the band since the 80s. And they were like, "That's awesome." So I was like, they just talking to his whole family. So that was an amazing night, an amazing show from them. Aww. And Tesla was awesome that night, too. So that was one of the, and they played a place in St. Pete that has since closed, unfortunately, but it's basically an outdoor courtyard. We've seen a number of bands there. My friend Anthony and I, we've seen like Wasp there, and I've seen Faster Pussycat and LA Guns, and we saw Cyndi Lauper there. And I think the capacity is like 1,000 people. It's not big. It's not a lot of room. So, we saw Skid Row there, and it was like right after 9/11. It was like,
oh wow,
September 22nd or something, because I remember Snake's birthday is September 16th, and I remember I yelled to him, because we were in the front, and I got his attention at one point. I yelled, "Happy late birthday," and he just put this big grin on his face. He goes, "Thank you." they played that, right, and I remember them saying, "We thought about canceling this tour, but then we thought, fuck it, why would you, we need to go on." And it was really cool that they did that. So I remember, I have a huge soft spot for Skid Row. They're one of my favorite bands. They don't get respect the way I wish they did, but I can understand that. And most people tend to think that, or there's a lot of people that will think that they were better with Sebastian Bach. And I'm not dissing the music they did with him, but I just can't stand that man. And I think the singer they have now, Johnny Solinger, when you see him do their stuff, the older stuff live, you don't miss Sebastian Bach at all. Because, I mean, Sebastian Bach could sing, you know.
Yeah, he's a very talented man.
Yeah, but, anyway,
I'm looking at some other songs, and just did, like, a little search here, and they're talking about, here's a couple that were staples. Come On, Feel the Noise, Quiet Riot, and You're Not Gonna Take It by Twisted Sister.
Say, Nicole.
Huh?
You didn't let me finish what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, and I Remember You is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Oh, and I Remember You.
Yeah, they actually, on the first album with Johnny Solinger, they redid it as like a punk song. And it's I Remember You Too, like T-O-O. Uh-huh. And it's amazing. So, but yeah.
The thing is, I Remember You, that song has deep impact for me because that song came out like 2 weeks after a really good friend committed suicide.
Yeah.
So it's like, ooh! So that's what I think of when I hear that song.
Shit.
Yeah. So. It's a good thing you brought that up.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Quiet Riot was a band that I always thought didn't get enough respect. But their cover of Come On, Feel the Noise is one of my favorite songs. I prefer it over the original.
I do too. And then, We're Not Gonna Take It. That's a staple. The 80s music.
With Sister are not a hair band. They were around in the 70s, well established.
They had more hair than most people, though. Come on.
But, yeah, but you know what I mean? And they did wear a lot of makeup, but it's just a different beast to me. But yeah, that was a big song. Their Stay Hungry album was absolute staple of my youth. It's one of my top 10 albums of all time. I still love that album.
What about Europe? There you go.
Right, excuse me while I vomit. They are one of the worst ever. If I ever have to hear Final Countdown again, I will kill somebody.
Okay, so I won't bring it on the podcast.
Please don't. I would rather you didn't, because I hate that band. Carrie by them is maybe even worse than Final Countdown. Oh, that lead singer was so damn ugly. And he had a perm. Oh, Joey something. Joey Tempesta or something like that. Is that right? I forget what his name was.
I can't remember.
Oh, good God. Yeah. And another band I really hated for that era is Winger. Oh, God.
Every time I hear Winger, I just think of Beavis and Butthead.
Yes, and that's the best thing about it is that the unfortunately, the kid's name was Stuart. Which is fairly funny now. But Stuart that show. But the kid wore the dorky kid with Stuart, and he wore the Winger shirt. Whereas Beavis and Butthead wore Metallica and AC/DC, so. Oh, God.
Butthead. That was a good way to watch music videos, too, back in the day.
Oh, my God. Bullet Boys. I forgot about that.
I was just looking at them.
Smooth up and yeah. Oh, my God. That was a great song. They did a cover of, who did it originally? Was it the Isley Brothers? Money, 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 money.
Oh, yeah.
Money. They did a cover of that. It's really good, too. They weren't a half bad band, actually. Bullet Boys, stupid name. But they had some great songs, I have to say. They weren't too bad.
They have Danger Danger on here.
Danger Danger. I was just making fun of them like yesterday. Oh, God, they're still together. That was another thing I looked up on Wikipedia. I don't know why. Danger Danger. And their first album was called Bang Bang. Oh, Christ. God, God. Oh, my God. There's a band, actually, Hurricane is listed on here. Now, Hurricane, I had one of their albums on cassette, and I remember they had a couple of songs I really liked. Now that's going to bug me because I can't think of the... I'm On to You, that was one of them. And then they had another song where they actually had Bobby Brown in the video, and I don't mean Bobby Brown as in Bobby! You know, Whitney Houston.
Bobby!
Bobby Brown as in the chick from the Cherry Pie video, and it was before...
Oh, yeah.
She was in a lot of videos. Like, she was in Great Whites. That's another band we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Great Whites. It's their biggest hit, and I can't think of the title. Oh, crap.
Once Bit, Twice Shy?
Thank you, yes. She's in that video, but she was best known for being in the Cherry Pie video. And she ultimately married Janie Lane, the lead singer of Warrant. But before that, she was in a Hurricane video. I remember that. And the interesting thing about Hurricane is that the lead singer, Kelly Hansen, big crush. He now sings lead for Foreigner.
Really?
Yes. Huh. And Jeff Wilson, who was the bass player for Dokken, is playing bass for Foreigner. And Jason Bonham, who of course is Bonzo Bonham, you know, John Bonham's son, is playing drums for Foreigner. So it's like Mick Jones from Foreigner, you know, the founding guy, when he sort of kept it going, he's like he trolled through the 80s, you know, bin and found... You know, these guys that were in band. Because Kelly Hansen's got a hell of a voice. So he was a great guy to have singing Foreigner stuff. I was like, there's a show on A&E on like Sunday mornings at like 8 or 9 or something called Private Sessions, I think. And
it's been a long time since I turned on A&E.
Yeah. See, it's one of those things where I was up early on a Sunday morning and was flipping through the channels and, you know, there's really fuck all on. But I came across this in... some annoying woman hosting it, but they kind of go back and forth where there's like a little bit of a stage area and they'll play live, do like a song, and then they'll sit on the couch and she interviews them. It kind of goes back and forth. And they'll talk about like the history of the band and stuff. And I'm watching that, and it was Foreigner. I always loved Foreigner. And I was like, oh my God, that's Kelly Hansen. And then I was like, oh my God, that's Jeff Pilson. And then I was like, my God, it's Jason Bonham. So that was quite funny. So, but Great White is another one that I loved Great White. Their early stuff. Oh my God, they had a song called Save My Love. Is that what it's called? Save All Your Love. Save Your Love, I think that's what it's called. It's a ballad off one of their, the album before Once Bitten, Twice Shy, when they kind of broke. Oh yeah, and I had to think for the lead singer.
That was
you see him out. No.
Yeah, they were the ones that had a big tragic accident. What was it? Three years ago?
Believe that. No, I think it was like 10 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
It's been a while. I'm remembering where I was working at the time. It's been quite a while. They played this little club in Connecticut that, I think it was called The Station, that like every band had played this place. It was a little hole in the wall, but every band had played it at some point or another, and they were playing on, was it New Year's Eve, I think it was?
They
used pyro in this place, and it was just, it was too tiny for pyro, and really...
They were overcrowded, they were over capacity.
Yes, it was just a recipe for disaster, and literally 101 people died that night because a fire broke out, and it just... It's like, plus the insulation in the place was so flammable, and then there was only like one exit, and these people were, oh, it was so awful. And even one of the guys in the band died. And
I thought two of them didn't.
Pardon me?
Wasn't it two of them?
No, it was just one of them. It was a guitar player who I wasn't familiar with at that point. I didn't even know that they were still touring and stuff, but I saw it on like CNN or something like one morning. I was like, oh my God. But the worst part of it was, aside from these deaths, well, that was the worst part of it, obviously, but they were so victimized by that. Like, the band felt terrible, obviously, you know, they felt responsible. But it was this, like, the club owners were assholes for not monitoring.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure that they had exits that were, you know, and then for not making sure that this band didn't use the pyro. The band were, you know, culpable for using that pyro. It was just like a lot of things. And ultimately, the club owners and the band went to trial and everything. And I think in the end, the club owners took the worst of it. But there was, there's been like some benefit concerts for the people, the families of the victims, you know, paying for... you know, just giving them money and stuff, which is really cool. And I think actually Dee Snider from Twisted Sister organized that, because Twisted Sister played that club a bunch of times themselves. But yeah, it was just really awful that I always loved that band, and I felt so bad that it happened to those guys, because they always seemed like nice guys, and they just felt so terrible. And people were wanting to hate on them for it, and it wasn't just one person's fault, you know what I mean? And it's not like they didn't suffer losses. It's not like they wanted to see fans of theirs dying. I mean,
well, yeah, especially a bandmate as well.
So. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, have you ever seen footage from that?
Yes. And
like the interviews with the people from that night and everything. He's like, you just see, like, the people talking about it, like, people running around on fire and stuff. It's just like, oh, jeez.
It was bad. It was bad. So.
Yeah, that was really bad. So, yeah, but I would like Great White's legacy to be their music, but I don't think it will be in the end, unfortunately, because of that.
I really liked them.
Yeah, I did too. They had a lot of really great songs. And, yeah.
Once Bitten, Twice Shy. That was awesome. I like that song.
One of my favorite songs by them is a song called Wasted Rock Ranger, which you have to hear. It's really funny. Like, it's a piss take of a song, but lyrically, it's a great song, musically, but it's just like, it was kind of like them just having fun, you know, and they talk about, like, doing all the drugs they do and stuff. It's like, it's kind of taking the piss out of the reputation of that these bands had, because they all had that reputation. They all did that. They all, it was all pussy and booze and drugs and, you know, so, and that's what it was about. It was a big party, so.
That's but so many in 2000.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was the early 2000s, so. Yeah. So. So, do you have a favorite band out of all these?
Well, of course, I love Poison. Still love Poison.
Oh,
I know.
So okay.
Still love Bon Jovi. No, looking at this list, I Faster Pussycat's up there. Still love them. Jeez, I'm looking at this list. I'm like, I could pick out, you know, Kix was also awesome. When you mentioned them, I'm like, yes, I love them.
My most underrated 80s band is on this list too, which I haven't even mentioned yet.
Oh, who's that?
But I wouldn't call them, they didn't do the makeup thing. but it's Black and Blue. That was a band that they actually formed in Portland in like 78, somewhere around there. And they moved to LA in the early 80s because the Portland scene wasn't so big, so they moved to the LA to try and be part of that scene and get signed, and they did. They put out 4 albums and broke up, and I remember the biggest bitch was that when everything started going to CD from cassettes, for some reason, legal reason with their record company or something, their shit was never going to be released on CD.
Oh, really?
So it was like, I remember I clung to my Black and Blue cassettes like you would not believe, especially their second album. And I think now their stuff has had CD releases. I always want to say DVD anymore. And I know they put out like a greatest hits thing, which was awesome, and there was a lot of songs on it, so that was great, because my brother got into the band first and then got me into them, and Gene Simmons produced one of their albums, kind of took them under his wing. But I remember Jamie St. James was the lead singer, and I had a thing for him. He had big blonde curly hair, kind of looked like Robin Crosby from Rats.
I'll see Rats on here, isn't it?
Yeah, we hardly talked about Rat. Yeah. Rat was one of the biggest bands of that scene. Sadly, the big blonde guitar player, Robin Crosby, he passed away in 02, June 6th. I remember it was the same day as Dee Dee Ramone. And Robin died of AIDS that he got sharing needles because he was a heroin addict. And Dee Dee Ramone died of a heroin overdose. And so I was kind of like, fuck you, heroin. I would like, not like I wasn't like that before, but it was just like, thanks a lot. Because 02 was a shit year that was the same year Layne Staley, the lead singer of Alice in Chains, died. And Randy Castillo, who was Ozzy's drummer, died that year. It was a bad year. And John Entwistle from The Who died that year. So that was a really...
Wow.
Yeah, it was a bad year for that kind of a thing. But Black and Blue's second album, Without Love, is one of my favorite albums to this day. Have you ever heard Black and Blue at all?
I don't recognize it. No,
I would say check them out. Check out their first 2 albums at least, just to give it a little.
If I looked them up, like I said, a lot of these I haven't listened to for a long time, but I was really heavy into the scene back in the day, so
they were just one of my favorite bands. And they have a song called "I'll Be There for You." It's a great song. I'll be there. It's more like a friend song as opposed to a love song. It's like, you know, not having great friends, so that's cool.
That sounds familiar, but I'll have to go check it out.
So, maybe just have Junkyard on this list, too.
Oh, then. I know.
Yeah, Junkyard is a great band, but...
there it is.
I would probably say Motley Crue is my favorite out of all of them. Yeah, they were the ones that pulled me in, and... They're playing here this summer, and I would be going except for the... Anthony and I would always go see Motley Crue. It was one of the bands that we'd always go see. Like, we'd always go see Kiss. We'd always go see Metallica. He'd always go see, you know, Motley with me. But then the last time we saw them with Aerosmith at this outdoor amphitheater. And Vince Neil sounded so bad it ruined the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the other guys sounded okay. I mean, they sounded good. But Vince's singing was so abysmal that we were just like, we're both kind of like, never again. You know what I mean? So... They're playing here this summer, but I don't really have it with Poison, actually, and I really don't have any desire to see that, unfortunately. But they'll always have a soft spot in my heart. They're always going to be.
I'm
going to love the early Motley stuff, and
I do like Motley Crue. They're probably in my top 5. So there's a lot of great bands. You guys go check out this list and tell us what you guys think. Yeah, good stuff.
Yes.
Anything else you want to add?
Probably. I think that we've covered it. We've just, like, this is obviously something, and it might be surprising to people, because I am a metalhead, but it's not, and again, I don't think of this stuff as metal, although it was lumped in, and I can understand why. Some people might be surprised that I love this stuff as much as I do. There's a lot of shit in this list, but there's a lot of...
There is.
there's some good music there, so...
Yeah. And check out the show notes, because I'll be putting some music in the background of this section. So,
yay.
If you hear something you like, go check out our show notes.
Yay.
It's very helpful, you know? All right, enjoy the music, and shall we move on